Welcome to Family Policy Matters, an engaging and informative weekly radio show and podcast produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Hi, this is John Rustin, president of NC Family, and we're grateful to have you with us for this week's program. It's our prayer that you will be informed, encouraged, and inspired by what you hear on Family Policy Matters, and that you will feel better equipped to be a voice of persuasion for family values in your community, state, and nation. And now here is our host of Family Policy Matters, Tracy DeVette Griggs.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. North Carolina has been making a name for itself in recent years as a leader in the school choice movement to give parents more options and more access to the diversity of academic environments for their children. However, school choice is constantly under attack by those who believe it is not good for the overall education system of all students in our state. Well, today we're going to focus on one aspect of school choice, and that is North Carolina's public charter schools, which are beginning their 22nd year in existence. In 2011, lawmakers did away with the cap on the number of public charter schools allowed in North Carolina, leading to a surge in the number of charters opening across the state. Last year, more than 111,000 students, represented by more than 7% of North Carolina's total student population, attended a public charter school. Well, we're pleased to be joined today by Rhonda Dillingham. She's a veteran educator who now serves as executive director of the North Carolina Association for Public Charter Schools. And we're going to discuss this piece of North Carolina's education puzzle. Rhonda, welcome to Family Policy Matters.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, let's start by clarifying exactly what a public charter school is and how does it differ from traditional public schools?
Charter schools are public schools authorized by the State Board of Education. They're, of course, tuition free and they're schools of choice, meaning that families choose them for their children. They operate with the freedom from some of the regulations that are imposed upon district schools. But they're accountable for academic results and for upholding the promises made in their charter documents. Of course, they're required to demonstrate performance in academic achievements, financial management, even organizational stability. And if a charter school doesn't meet those performance goals, it could be closed. Another difference in charter schools and district schools is the funding. Charter schools do not get funding for their facilities, so they have to find the money in their operating budgets, which is why we sometimes say they tend to do more with less.
So in the school choice landscape, public charter schools, though, are one of the oldest kids on the block, so to speak. So give us a little brief history about public charter schools here in our state.
So the original public charter school law was passed in a bipartisan effort in 1996, and it led to the law to create 100 charter schools as an academic option for families in our state. And there are six legislative purposes that a charter school is required to at least meet one of them, and this was established by the General Assembly. Of course, the charter school cap was lifted in 2011, and the reason we had the cap in the first place was because there are 100 counties in the state and 100 public charter schools is what was allowed at the time. But you know, what we saw instead of one school per county, which might have been what was intended, is there are still probably about 30-some counties in the state that still don't have a public charter school as an option, but there are some pockets of concentration in different areas of the state.
So let's address some of the opposition. You guys have to fight to keep the ability to operate public charter schools in North Carolina. Let's address each of these criticisms and see how you would respond to them. Some of the opposition is that we hear that they pull money from traditional public schools.
Well, but like I said earlier, public charter schools don't get as much funding as district schools do, because they don't get capital funding, so they have to fund the money for their facilities in their operating budget. But the truth of the matter is, charter schools are part of the public school system. And at the end of the day, it's about the student. And it only makes sense to me and people like me that the funding should follow the student. And, you know, there are often some details in the argument that are left out. So sometimes districts could even end up with more money per pupil as a result of a charter school being in their district. Then another issue that I'd like to address with the funding issue is the issue of predictability. So when a charter school is approved by the State Board of Education, it is required to go through, that board is required to go through an entire year of planning, which we call the ready-to-open process. So that makes the addition of a charter school in a community or a district predictable, and the district can make adjustments to their budget accordingly. You know, often charter schools seem to be the scapegoat for this funding issue, but we need to keep in mind that district enrollment fluctuates for many reasons, not just the addition of a charter school. It could be changing home prices or a plant closing, for example, or even student mobility. And the districts are forced to adapt their budgets to respond to those external factors as well. So there are other things to keep in mind when we think about that whole funding issue.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a weekly radio show and podcast of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. This is just one of the many ways NC Family works to educate and inform citizens across North Carolina about policy issues that impact North Carolina families. Our vision is to create a state and nation where God is honored, religious freedom flourishes, families thrive, and life is cherished. For more information about NC Family and how you can help us to achieve this incredible vision for our state and nation, visit our website at ncfamily.org. Again, that's ncfamily.org. And be sure to sign up to receive our email updates, action alerts, and of course our flagship publication, Family North Carolina Magazine. We'd also love for you to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
So when you're talking about funding, let's talk a little bit about a similar argument that it makes existing schools more expensive to operate.
So another issue to take into account is that the funding a charter school receives is hardly ever perfectly adjusted for the types of students that might attend the school. So, for example, if a charter school enrolls a high ratio of high-cost students, then the district is better off financially. And nationally, if we look at what the statistics say nationally, we find that charter schools enroll higher proportions of minority students, low-income students, and even students that are limited in their English proficiency. And then, you know, looking specifically at North Carolina, when we're talking about the types of students that we serve, we can look back at the Department of Public Instruction's Charter School Annual Report from 2017 and 18. And the racial makeup is interesting to note there that there's a lot of similarities between charter schools and district schools. So, for example, charter schools have 26% of Black students compared with 25% in the district schools. And then similarly, 55% of white students attend charters compared to 48% in districts. Then as far as students with disabilities, 10% of our students with disabilities in charter schools compared to 12% in the district schools. So there are a lot of similarities there that, you know, I think the general public might not be aware of.
Right. Aren't charter schools kind of tasked with trying to make their student population diverse? And how do they do that?
Yes. Charter schools are encouraged to match the demographics of their communities. And really, it's in the best interest of the charter school to do that because we want students to have the experience of being educated with other types of students in their communities. And I can think of one school in Durham has a high Hispanic population, and that entire school and staff, they're really reflective on their practices. And they realized that they had that increase in their Hispanic population. So they really have gone out of their way to make sure that those students and those families are included and understand that they are an important part of the success of that school. And that means that their entire front office is bilingual. Every document that goes home is written in English as well as Spanish. And then the other thing to take into consideration as far as this racial makeup is the addition recently of the federal CST grant, which is a federal grant that charter schools can apply for. And one of the requirements for a school is to conduct a weighted lottery. And currently in North Carolina, we have six schools that are conducting a weighted lottery. The weighted lottery simply means that it gives a percentage of educationally disadvantaged students preference if the school has to conduct the lottery. So North Carolina definitely is taking steps in addressing the need to make sure that our schools are accessible to all types of students.
So if the statistics don't uphold that, why do you think the criticism continues that charter schools lead to racial resegregation in communities?
Well, because it could be that there are some specific schools that might have a higher percentage of a certain type of student. But, you know, what we have to take into consideration and remember is that charter schools are schools of choice. And that wealthy families have always been able to send their children to the best schools that they could possibly afford. But, you know, students who might come from families that don't have that type of wealth have been relegated to the failing schools that are in their zip codes. And that just means that the price of a home, whatever a parents can afford on a home, dictates the quality of their child's education. And charter schools disrupt that whole narrative in that they give the opportunity for choice. You know, one thing that we have to keep in mind is that charter schools, their leaders, their principals, superintendents, board, they understand that parents and students vote with their feet. And so that keeps them accountable every single day to making sure that those students are getting the highest quality education they can possibly get. And district schools don't have to face that type of scrutiny. We need to make sure that all schools, whether they're charter or district, are serving all of North Carolina students, because the success of this state rests on the quality of education our students receive.
What do you see as the future of public charter schools for North Carolina?
I'm excited about the future for our public charter schools. We have 14 new schools that will be open this year, just maybe in a couple of weeks for the students in those communities. And then 12 more schools have been approved to open in 2020. So that simply means that those communities will have new educational options available to them that the parents can choose from to meet the unique needs of their students. The addition of these schools means that North Carolina will be over 200 public charter schools in the state, and I just see that as an incredible positive for our state and something that we should be proud of.
Well, we're just about out of time, but before we go, where can our listeners go to learn more about North Carolina's public charter schools?
I'd love to invite the listeners to visit the North Carolina Association for Public Charter Schools website at ncpubliccharters.org.
Great. Well, Rhonda Dillingham, thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters, and especially for your commitment to help all North Carolina students find an educational option that works for them.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters. We hope you enjoyed the program and plan to tune in again next week. To listen to this show online and to learn more about NC Family's work to inform, encourage, and inspire families across North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org. That's ncfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and your family.